the tradition of student-driven media at Bluffton University. On your PC, your radio, and your mobile device. This is WBWHLP Bluffton. 96.1 The Wit.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Got the chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching.
Try that again. Hey, there we are.
Hello, everyone. This is Smart Money. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty there, but this is our last episode of the semester. I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Summers. I'm your host, Josh Whalers. Oh, man, I'm glad to be doing this last episode of the semester. We're going to do our little tweet thing, but we'll mention that a little bit later, but how you doing tonight, Jason?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing a lot better now that we got the microphones working too. So
I know. I apologize. I'm sorry,
everyone. I won't throw you under the bus for it too much. I mean, you just got to hit a button, slide a knob. Simple enough, but.
Wow. He's throwing me under the bus, everyone.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yes, I did forget to turn the mics up. I apologize.
They were on, just not up.
They were on, just not up.
So you were halfway there. It's close.
Anyways. So tonight, we're going to do what we did last week. We're going to have everyone. If you have a financial literacy question that you would like Jason and I to give our best advice on, jump on. If you have Twitter, jump on Twitter, tweet at us using the hashtag MySmartMoneyQuestion. If you don't have Twitter, Instagram, go look me up. I believe my username is Joshua_Ehlers5. I'm not private, so I'm public, so you could probably check out my story. I put a little question poll on there, so jump on there. You can put your question there. Facebook, you can look me up on Facebook. I put a little post out there to comment with your question. And if you have me on Snapchat, please snap me your financial literacy question. I put it everywhere tonight. I'm going all out for this last show. So if you have a question, and we would like Jason and I to give us our best advice on it. It can be anything. Saving, paying off debt, credit cards, credit scores, buying cars, whatever you have. Tweet at us or just anything. Just get us your question and we will give it our best shot tonight. So we're doing that again. So I'm excited to be doing that. So what do you say we jump into some stock market numbers, Jason?
Well, let's go ahead.
All right, let's get it.
I'm actually really excited because I just figured out that on the stocks app on Apple, you can, if you click on the number, it can go to percentage. So I'm actually pretty excited about that because I couldn't figure out how to get the percentage points up.
You know, you just have to click on the number.
Just touch it.
See.
So I throw myself under the bus there. Now we're even.
Would you like to give the numbers since it's your, I forgot to mention, tonight is Jason's last show with me. I'm kind of sad. He's leaving me. He's graduating. He's going to a big boy job. Starting when?
I start on January 7th.
Yes, he's going to a big boy job January 7th. So it's my last show. So it's only right that you give the numbers for this last show.
It's such an honor. All right. Well, we'll kick it off with the Dow after such a rough couple days here. Almost got back to even for the day, actually. Just down about 0.3%, so not bad there. Closing at 24.9. NASDAQ closing at 7,188. That's up about half a point, actually. So about 0.5% gain there. It's surprising. Everything's kind of been slumping down lately. And then the S&P closed down 0.15%, bringing that to a close of 26.95. So actually, as rough of a day as it was, I mean, I looked around 11 or so. And it was rough. It was at the point the Dow was down from Monday almost 1,700 points. It opened on Monday at just shy of 26,000, and it was almost at 24,100. So it was a rough couple of days. And then, I mean, of course, we were closed yesterday in honor of the late President Bush. So. Yeah.
But I remember, what was it, last Thursday, everything was pretty down last Thursday too. So
yeah, I think this has kind of been a kind of realization here. It's like, hey, if we just keep buying and buying and buying, at some point we're overpaying. So it happens. Market's cyclical. This happens all the time. So it's just, are you going to stick through it, or are you going to panic and bail?
Yeah. Seeing a little green today, so that's always good.
Yeah, it is always nice.
Did you touch on any of the companies?
I did not. You can go ahead and hit those. I'm not sure which ones you like to hit. That's all you. Here, I'll do one. Since I start my big boy job, I'll do Marathon. Marathon Petroleum closed at $63.55, up a quarter of a percent. And I think we mentioned it, but that is where I will be starting my job at. So it seems fitting. Go ahead and read that one off there. So. Yeah. I saw also there was an article, their CEO predicted that gas would be about $2.25 a gallon for all of 2019 average. So might put a smile on a lot of people's faces there.
That's not bad. I'll take that.
Yeah. Hard to beat.
I will say I was up in Findlay last night, and the bank I use is over by Marathon's little place over there. I just call it theirs because it just seems like you drive along the street and you just keep seeing them Marathon building.
It's literally like theirs. They basically consumed a city street. It was pretty funny, actually.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
So I kind of got lost around there last night. I will say it was a little embarrassing. I kept driving around and hitting one way streets, and I didn't know how to get to the back of the bank so I could go in the right way to use the ATM. I was driving around for probably like 10 minutes. So I'm throwing myself under the bus. But yeah, I had an interesting experience. And that place, they have that place lit up for Christmas.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they do a lot of Christmas lights. They do a lot of festive stuff and everything. I mean, they keep it interesting, and for the employees and the community as well. I mean, it's such a staple in the community. They like to have some fun with it. And I mean, employees will bring their kids by and stuff like that. So
seems really nice over there.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Nice buildings and stuff, especially with the stuff they just built. To where, I mean, even if they don't have the Christmas lights up, just the way they built the parking garages with the light shine on the side, those look cool themselves. So
seemed like it, especially the part that goes over the street and everything.
Yeah.
Looks real nice over there, Jason.
They did it nice. Yeah, so I'm definitely excited. So.
I bet you are. All right, let's see what else we got here when it comes to stock numbers. Amazon closed at $1,699, up 1.85%. Let's see, Lowe's closed at 90.95, up 0.69%. Apple closed at 174.72, down 1.11%. Let's see what else we got here. Tesla closed at 363.06, up 0.93%. I will say Tesla. So I'm in an investment club. I'm actually the president of investment club. And we play a little simulation game on Investopedia.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla is just, I'm just riding Tesla right now. I'm in first place in the rankings, and I'm just riding Tesla.
If only it was real money, right?
That'd be lovely.
That's when it's fake money, you always do so well. You put real money in there,
it doesn't do as well. And
yeah.
Sad.
Yeah. No, it's nice to see them turn around and everything, though.
It is. I mean,
their cars are sweet.
When I was in D.C., I went to that mall and sat in one of them. It's just over in Tyson's Corner. They're the first ones that have a place inside the mall that sells cars. And they were like, okay, we'll just bring the cars in the mall.
Yeah, you don't have any emissions or anything. You can drive it in there, essentially.
So
you don't have to worry about fumes or anything, yeah.
They just had two cars sitting in there, and it was a packed place. People all jumping in the cars, riding them and everything. So
yeah.
I sat in one.
Fun fact, I've drove a car in the mall before in Findlay. I have actually drove a vehicle through the mall. When I was working at LaRich in high school, every year they do kind of like it's not quite a car show, but it's kind of like a car show.
Okay.
To where all the dealerships in town will bring in a couple vehicles, and they'll park them in the mall, and they'll have like, it's kind of like a show and tell type thing. They'll have salesmen couple people there for like, I think it's like a week or so. And so we had to bring them in. And I got to be one of the ones where we got to drive them in. So
lucky you.
It was really cool.
I bet.
Really weird though, because they said if like you had to keep moving to turn. Like if you were stopped and you turned the wheel, you would destroy the carpet. The carpet they had. So you had to constantly be moving if you wanted to turn. So it was cool.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad. That seems pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I don't think. Do we have any number? Any other? Oh, Verizon. Verizon's a good one here. Closed at 58.08, down 0.02%. Not down a lot. But, I don't know. I don't think I have any others when I hit here.
No, that's about it.
What do you say we jump to some articles?
Yeah, I saw we had some interesting ones here. Let's go ahead. We'll hop there.
We want to start with Bloomberg.
Take them wherever you want.
Yeah, we can start with Bloomberg. So this Bloomberg article is titled Wall Street Rule for the Hashtag Me Too Era. Avoid women at all costs. So basically the author writes that they call it the Pence effect, because U.S. Vice President Mike Pence was quoted saying that he avoids dining alone with any women other than his wife. So that started that. And then, so now everyone is avoiding just being alone with women in the workplace. So let's see if I find what I'm looking for here. 30 senior executives suggest many are spooked by the hashtag MeToo and struggling to cope. It's creating a sense of walking on eggshells. So let's see here. There's one person quoted saying, if men avoid working or traveling with women alone or stop mentoring women for fear of being accused of sexual harassment, those men are going to back out of a sexual harassment complaint and right into a sex discrimination complaint, which I can see if it goes too far. But I think one was quoted saying that, yeah, a manager in infrastructure investing said he won't meet with female employees in rooms without windows anymore. He also keeps his distance in elevators. A late 40-something in private equity said he has a new rule established on the advice of his wife and attorney. No business dinner with a woman 35 or younger. What do you think?
Wow. From his wife, but not only wife, his attorney as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's serious stuff. I mean, I think right now, I mean, it's a mixture of being scared and also like a lot of people were doing a lot of bad stuff to where it's like,
yeah,
everyone's kind of realizing like, wow, that stuff's really going on. But I mean,
I will say there's so much news around it that some of the cases that we've seen, you don't know what's true. And I feel bad for saying that. And I'm not taking anything away from anyone. But when you have so many news things covering it, and there's so many cases, and I will say it's kind of like walking on eggshells. You're like, yeah, what's right, you know, kind of what's truthful, what's not, what's going on, kind of a thing.
Well, and it's hard too when you'll see ones where it's literally like afterwards it'd be like, oh yeah, I just made it up, to where it's like you're ruined. It makes it harder to believe the real cases. And by no means, like you said, I mean, we're not here saying everyone's lying or everyone's telling the truth.
I'm not saying that at all.
It's really hard to figure out, to where especially, I mean, if it's a he said, she said, one word against the other, it's like, who's telling the truth? And without proof one way or the other, it's just a toss up to where a lot of these people are just saying, hey, it's easier if I just avoid it instead of worrying about it. But like they point out though, I mean, it's really bad for, I mean, women trying to get mentorship and stuff, to where if say their boss is a guy and they're scared of what may happen or something, I mean, they will lose out on some probably valuable conversations and just mentorship in general, to where you can see the something that's supposed to be such a positive effect is having a lot of negative effects. So
yeah,
I think it's hard to find kind of the balance there.
Yeah, and this one thing says the changes are subtle, and it's like they're excluding women from casual after-work drinks, leaving male colleagues to bond, or having what should be a private meeting with a boss with the door left wide open. So it's not like major changes, but it's like subtle things that they're noticing. And this one lawyer is quoted saying, some men have voiced concerns to me that a false accusation is what they fear the most, and it's what they can't control. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up right there. To where, I mean, people are worried about kind of the what if, to where it's like, I'm just going to avoid it in general and not have to worry about it.
It's almost like, who's out to get me kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's sad.
It says one investment advisor who manages 100 employees said he briefly reconsidered having one-on-one meetings with junior women. He thought about leaving his office door open or inviting a third person into the room.
But, yeah, what are we going to do, have HR in every single meeting now or something?
There's this one where he, I forget who came up with the solution, said, actually, I probably shouldn't say that.
So just try not to be an a-hole.
Yeah.
I think we can censor that. Which, yeah, I mean, it's simple. That's kind of what we jokingly say about, like, our hall meetings and stuff here. It's okay, everybody get along. Don't be that.
Yeah. And I get that. And I don't, but it still comes back to, there's so much news around him now that you could lie and get away with it kind of thing. Like, you could ruin someone's life just to get a lot of money out of it. So you cannot be an a-hole, but someone comes and just, like, doesn't like you and wants to make false accusation, and they might end up winning it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like you saw with the Kavanaugh stuff. I mean, talking about a man who about had his life destroyed and his whole career and family ripped apart for something that was never proven to where I don't know if she ever came out and said if it was false or not, or if he said it was false or not. I never really, there never really was an outcome from it. So, I mean, it's just stuff like that to where, you know, it's so publicized too. Like you said, it's like a just soak something in gasoline and light it on fire because it'll go up quicker and out of control before you even know what happened.
They televised that court thing.
Yeah, with Kavanaugh.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know if televising it just made it worse, but like watching it, it just looked.
It was hard.
It just looked like a zoo. Like it was just, it was hard to watch kind of thing. It's just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But I guess last thing at the end of this article, I'll just quote it directly. It says, in this changed environment, the question is how the response to the hashtag MeToo might actually end up hurting women's progress. Given the male dominance in Wall Street's top jobs, one of the most pressing consequences for women is the loss of male mentors who can help them climb the ladder. And I think that's going to affect the business world hard. You kind of lose the creative mind and everything. So I guess we'll see what happens with this. But
yeah, we'll see.
Let's move on to our next article. What do you say we go to MarketWatch? So that was like our serious article. Now we got kind of some fun articles for, you know, fun articles for the night, I guess you'd say. So this article is titled, "This is how much credit card debt makes you undateable."
Undateable. I like this. Okay.
I don't think I'm undateable yet, according to this article. I have to read the poem first. Roses are red and debt is too, but if you owe too much money, I'm not dating you. I took that right from the article.
Direct quote. Nice.
Quentin Fittrell is responsible for that poem. I love the poem. Great poem. So basically, the article goes on to say more than 77% of people consider credit card debt unattractive, according to a survey released earlier this year by personal finance site Finder.com. On average, people say $11,525 in credit card debt is enough of a red flag to swipe left or walk away. Payday loans, which can have an astronomical interest rates as high as 400%, are the second most unacceptable forms of debt for daters. As such, it only takes a payday loan of $1,830 to turn off a potential partner.
I think that would be number one. Sorry, go ahead.
Americans carry $1.4 trillion in student debt. Student loans are also off-putting to prospective dates. And on average, anything above $51,000 could be a deal breaker. That's considerably higher than the average student debt balance of $37,000. Now, this gets interesting here. Millennials are the least tolerant of student loans. Over 80% consider unacceptable in a partner, followed by credit card debt and payday loans. Gen Xers appear to be the most tolerant generation when it comes to debt of any form. Although payday loans sit highest for most unacceptable, 75% find them a turnoff, followed by credit card debt and student loans. With the exception of student loans, baby boomers considered all kinds of debt unacceptable. What do you think, Jason?
So, I find that really surprising because with the student loans to millennials, because it seems like all you hear is millennials crying about it. And I think it might not be necessarily the problem is that for millennials that the other person has a student loan. A lot of it probably is their attitude about the student loan, to where it's the, I'm going to have this for the rest of my life. I'm going to take this to the grave with me and be paying on it forever, to where it's like, no one wants to date someone who cries about their student loan like that. Like, own up to it and pay the thing. Don't cry about it and say you're going to have it for 30 more years, like a mortgage.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised by that first one, considering every millennial has student loans.
I mean,
80% consider unacceptable in a partner. 80%.
Sounds like the pot's calling the kettle black.
That is, it almost seems hypocritical.
So do you mark yourself as undateable?
Yeah. Are you not going to date because you have student loans? We should only have 20% of millennials out there. Well, I first of all, I think we have to define millennials, because that the youngest is us.
Technically, no.
What?
Technically, it cuts off in 95.
I thought it was 96.
95.
I think it's last 96. Last I saw.
Okay.
I think Pew researched that 96.
All right, go ahead. We'll go with yours. 96.
So even if we say 95, you're still saying the youngest millennial is 23. So they just graduated college last year. And some of them may be graduating this year. And the oldest is like 35.
You're right.
You looked it up. So I am right. It is 96.
Yeah.
So that makes it even better. So the youngest millennial is 22 and the oldest is how old?
37. So 1981 to 96.
Look at that gap. And 80% consider it unacceptable in a partner. The oldest millennial is probably already married. Most of them are probably already married.
I mean, I'm a millennial. That's on the early end, and I'm getting married next year. So, I mean.
I think you're the exception.
Am I, though? How many people you know around here that are engaged?
Fair point.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Fair point. Maybe I'm the exception.
Okay.
But that is surprising, 80%.
That is really surprising. 80% find it unattractive for your partner to have a student loan. I mean, I understood. I guess I could see the $51,000 like line being a deal breaker, because, you know, that's like getting into where that's a lot more than what a lot of people make, type thing.
To where it's like, if your
student loan is more than what your income is, that's like a big like pump the brakes type moment. To where it's like, whoa,
yeah,
you spent how much to be able to make how much? Like just common sensely is like a red flag, it seems like, but that's really surprising.
So if you have more than 51,000, it's a deal breaker. The one that I think is best is the credit card.
Well, I think this next one's the most interesting. It says, in fact, the higher your credit score, the less likely you'll separate from your partner. More than half of Americans, which came to 58%, said they wouldn't marry someone with significant debt, according to a separate study. But to have a high credit score, you have to have debt. So that's kind of backwards there, though.
Yep. I think this could have been our Say What article, now that you just shine some light on it for me.
I mean, that just seems a little backwards to me, but okay.
So don't have debt, but have a high credit score. But to get a high credit score, you need debt.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know how that works. Good luck, people. I don't know. I seriously don't know how you're going to get the credit score without the debt.
If you want a lasting marriage, have a good credit score. But to get someone to marry you can't have too much debt. I don't know.
I don't know what you're going to do now, people. I really don't. So apparently too much credit card debt is $11,525.
That's a lot of credit card debt.
It is. That's a couple cards, potentially.
Well, even when you think about it, an $1,800 payday loan, at up to 400%, that is a lot.
That's going
to
turn into 11,000 real quick.
Yeah, you talk about something where you're barely staying above water.
Yeah.
Well, in 1 year, you're looking at, that's going to go to almost $8,000 if you have $1,800. In 1 year, that's insane. So congratulations, in 2 years, you have $16,000. Yeah.
Yikes. Man, what an interesting article there.
No kidding.
All right, what do we got next here?
It's going to be hard to top that one.
Let's go to iPhone XR is being given away by the Cult of Mac. So attendees of the Ellen Show are given a free iPhone XR. This was on December 3rd. So Apple is literally giving away free units of the iPhone XR handsets. As an advertisement ploy, they gave attendees of Ellen's latest edition in an opera-like stunt with Julia Roberts that they were all getting freebie iPhones. It was during Ellen's customary 12 days of giveaways for the holidays. And yeah, they all got free iPhone XRs.
Hard to complain about that.
But this is not this is not Apple-like. It's kind of concerning.
I think it's safe to say, they stopped releasing what their iPhone sales are, but I think it's safe to say, looking at everything that's going on,
they're struggling.
Some struggles.
But this is even more comical because a few years back, Ellen DeGeneres, a paid sponsor of the Samsung Galaxy Note, but she ditched the device backstage when spotted tweeting out selfies using an iPhone.
I don't think Samsung's going to like that.
Well, did you see what I saw another article that Samsung, for the second time, tweeted advertisement posts. You know, those like
the paid
sponsored
tweets.
Yeah, uh-huh. Sponsored tweets. They did one of those. And in the bottom right, it says via Twitter for iPhone.
No way.
For the second time. Not the first time. They didn't do it. They did it one time. And then they did it for a second time.
That's, wow. Okay.
How can you do that twice in a row?
You would think that your work phone
isn't a Samsung.
Would be a Samsung. You'd think they would furnish you one.
Nope. Apparently, Samsung employees are using iPhones.
Bold strategy. Okay. See if it pays off for them, I guess.
Yeah, Apple has rarely engaged in these kinds of paid promotional giveaway deals. Something about it just seems very un-Apple. They also lowered the price of the XR in Japan. So, well, the XR might be having disappointing sales.
Yeah, well, and they have that sale going on where they're advertising $300 off the XR on their website. I've never seen them do that before, ever, on any phone.
I wonder if it's a... I'm starting to think it, because if you trade in a phone, they'll give you up to a $300 credit.
Yeah, that's what it was, basically towards the new one, to where, I saw it was another article, but it was basically saying people are hanging on to their phones longer because all the phones are getting so much more expensive that people are like, well, I don't want to spend another $1,000 this year. I'll wait till next year. My phone's fine still. So
I feel like this was bound to happen.
Once you start charging people over $1,000 for phones, it's going to naturally slow down the buying cycle.
The 10, people were due for new phones.
Yeah, but that was the first real expensive offender.
Yes, but everyone was kind of due for phones last year.
Yeah, and it was the new thing too. They finally did something different to where they did the full screen.
Yeah.
They just gave you the 6, 6S, 7, and 8 back-to-back-to-back-to-back of disappointment.
Well, the 8 was with the 10.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The 6, the 7, it was all the same. 8, still the same. 10, ooh, $1,000, but it's different.
Yeah, so I think that helped that one.
It did. I would agree with that. But it probably helped that one. This year, I think they're struggling.
I think people are really looking at it, and they're like, do I really need a $1,000 phone? Or more importantly, does my kid need a $1,000 phone? I think that is the one that a lot of people are saying no to.
I don't know. I've seen so many high schoolers, and I see a lot of people walk around with the 10. I'm just like, I look at it and I'm just like, how? I see it, I'm like, man, I feel so bad for you. Probably $50 a month is just in device payments.
Well, it's funny because I actually know the 10S Max is $45 a month and some change, and the 10S is $41 and some change.
That's ridiculous.
So perks of my day job there, but
that is ridiculous.
Yeah, and the 10R is $31 a month. The funny part is most people don't even ask how much it is total. How much is it a month?
That's so sad. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I would say they're struggling and people are finally feeling the effects of a $1,000 phone. I've seen so many sales on iPhones. Best Buy did a thing too, that they will give you $100 off if you do monthly payments.
Yep. And they had, they did $400 off the iPhone X for Black Friday. And I don't know if I've ever seen a promotion from Verizon for an iPhone that wasn't where you had to be a new line or something like that. I don't think I've ever seen one where you could just go in and do an upgrade for a discounted price on an iPhone without a trade-in or anything. So, definitely interesting.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to move far away from Apple just yet. We got one more article about Apple. And that is the Apple Music is coming to Amazon Echo devices this month in December. What up? I love this. I like Apple Music. Most people don't like Apple Music.
Spotify, Apple. Man. No, Spotify.
Get out of here. We don't want that Spotify. Get out.
Hey, when you opened up your Apple Music today, did it give you a rundown of the songs you listened to the most this year? Oh, Spotify did, though. Hmm.
Well, I have to, little disclosure, I don't have Apple Music anymore.
Ah, well, there you go.
But hey.
Did I see a Spotify app on here earlier, too?
That was all there. Yes, you did see a Spotify app. I did. It is downloaded.
All I'm saying is my Spotify cost me $4.99, and I get Showtime and Hulu for free with it.
Well, Apple Music for students costs $4.99.
Do you get Hulu and Showtime?
No.
Yeah.
Case closed. There,
it's true. I don't know. I guess I don't know that many people that actually use Apple Music. I know some that use Amazon's music through their Prime account. I know a lot of people use Spotify.
I love Apple Music because it's all integrated. That's what I love about it. It's all integrated. You basically have the entire iTunes store just in your music app. Like, want a song? Just type it in.
Can you do podcasts and stuff on Apple Music? Like you can on Spotify?
It's a different app. But I'm not sure.
Huh. That's one thing I really like about Spotify is you can do, podcast playlists. Whole nine yards.
You just have to use the podcast app.
Oh, so much for it being integrated, huh?
What do you mean?
I'm just giving
you a crap. We're talking music. We're not talking podcasts. Wait, you want all that to be in one app?
Yeah. That's how Spotify has it. I can go straight from listening to music to podcast.
That's never been an Apple thing.
Maybe it's time to change.
Well, they already started.
That's true. They have.
Anyways, the beginning of the week of December 17th, you will be able to use the Apple Music app on your Alexa devices. Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah. And basically, any of the features that you're used to, you'll be able to use. So you can tell Alexa to play favorite songs, artists, albums, or playlist, and Beats 1 as well.
Nice.
Beats 1 Radio. Hmm. So I think it's awesome. But this is another Apple move. I feel like they're up to something, you know? Because this isn't Apple-like.
I don't see how this is bad for them, though. Other than the fact that it lets people buy the Echo instead of their HomePod and still get their Apple Music.
It's going to destroy the HomePod sales.
I think they're already trash.
I don't know many people.
They came to the market 3 years later than everyone else did.
That's true.
I think they're so far behind at this point, they kind of are just desperate.
I would agree with that. Yeah, you might be onto something. But it's just it's a non-Apple move.
It's true. It's very true.
And I'm like, either they're up to something or this is them waving a white flag.
Now, I wonder if Amazon doesn't sell any Google products on Amazon.
Okay.
I wonder if since they're letting you use Apple Music instead of Prime Music or whatever, I wonder if they'll start selling
Not Prime.
Hmm?
Not Prime Music. Prime Music.
That's Amazon Music.
Yeah, this is an Amazon device.
Yeah, but they're letting you use Apple Music on the Amazon device. Yeah.
You said they won't let you use Prime.
Well, no, they won't. You can't buy Google stuff through Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So I'm starting to wonder if they're going to let you buy Google stuff through Amazon now. It's like you can't buy a Google Home from Amazon.
Right.
You can't buy a Chromecast from Amazon.
Okay.
So since they're letting you use Apple Music on their Alexa instead of Amazon's music on their Alexa, to where I'm wondering if they're going to start opening it up to other competitors.
I don't know. I don't see that. No.
I would be surprised, but I'm surprised they did this though. So.
I wonder if they only did this because they don't see the HomePod as a threat.
It's probably true.
And now that you put, and they did this, now they're going to sell a crap ton more.
Probably true. I'll give you that.
And Sonos has their Alexa-enabled device.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can use Apple Music on it.
There you go.
So this might be a power move for Apple.
I think this is a win for consumers, though. No matter what.
Big win for consumers.
I don't know what the end game is for Apple and Amazon and what they worked out. I'm sure Amazon's getting some money for this, but it's definitely a win for consumers, though. Definitely a win for consumers, though.
This is a big one. I got that Echo Dot in my room.
You'll have to try it now on December 17th.
Yes, I'm going to get Apple Music for a month just to try it out, and then I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not getting it back. Because once you get it, it just takes over your entire library. And once you get rid of it, it takes so long to get your library back.
That's fair.
So I don't know if I'll try it, but we'll see what happens with this. This is a big one for consumers. I will agree with that. All right, we got one more article. Or should we see if we got any questions quick?
Yeah, you can. Go ahead and grab some questions.
Let's see if we got any questions. Anybody got any questions for us?
Yeah, well, here, while you do that, I can hop in the next one if you want. I'll start introducing this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So this one is from Vox. It's America's Monopoly Problem in one chart. So it's going to be hard for you guys to see the chart on here. But from cell phone providers to beer to cat food, consumers have a lot fewer choices when it comes down to buying. And the kicker is, even if you don't know it, a lot of them are owned by the same company. To where the Open Market Institute basically released a report and it called it the concentration crisis, basically detailing how a lot of industries are more coming consolidated, be it from airlines to phone providers or even cell phone service, to where four companies, for example, control 97% of dry cat food. So four companies, 97% of cat food. Those are Nestle, Smucker's, Supermarket Brand, and Mars. I didn't know any of them made cat food, but surprising. Yeah. And then in the beer industry, ABI, Anheuser-Busch, and Miller Coors have, and Constellation, so between those three, which Miller Coors, they make Miller and Coors Light, and Constellation, they're who makes Corona and Modelo. They have a 75% share of the beer industry. And then for caskets, there's two companies that make 76% of coffins and caskets, which is Hillenbrand and Matthews. So what do you think there?
Well, we talked about this in intermediate microeconomics a month ago at the most. And it's basically price discrimination. So, you know, you walk in, go get your toothpaste. You walk in, you go get your toothpaste. You're like, you see all the different brands, but one company makes four of those. And it's all priced different. Mm-hmm. And it's basically price discrimination.
Yeah, it's like false choice, basically.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm going to go with the cheaper one. Ha, joke's on you. It's made by the same company.
Yeah, we still get the money whether you buy this one or that one or that one.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, this is a problem. And at the end, they talked about, monopsony power.
Mm-hmm.
So monopsony power is one buyer. So potentially Amazon could eventually become so big that it control what shipping companies such as FedEx and UPS charge it, and in areas where it becomes a dominant buyer of labor, could contribute to pushing employees' wages down. How insane would that be?
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me with the whole FedEx and UPS thing, but I think that's why Amazon started. They're like, hey, we need shipping service, so we're going to make our own. Even with the healthcare thing, to where them and J.P. Morgan and was it Berkshire Hathaway? I think those three went together to make a healthcare company, to where it's like a lot of these are just like, hey, we'll just make our own company. Instead of dealing with you third parties, we'll make our own company. So, but no, that is surprising. That's a very good point.
And the biggest thing is at the bottom that four cell phone providers that control 98% of the market, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint. But T-Mobile and Sprint announced a merge earlier this year, and if the deal goes through, it will be down to three providers.
I thought that deal already got shot down.
They did, and they put another one in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, that'll get rough. I mean,
that's not a win for consumers.
No, that is definitely not a win for consumers. Especially with, I'm really interested with the whole 5G coming out to where.
I read a couple articles on that, and it's going to be years. Apple's not planning to release a 5G phone until like 2020.
Samsung's making one next year.
They partnered with a provider to make it. but that thing isn't going to sell well because this is going to be the bulkiest phone because Motorola makes one right now, and it is the bulkiest phone you have ever seen.
Well, they make one where you put the attachment on it, the mod on the back.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You had to wear it. You just basically slap that on, and I don't know.
And that's why Apple is not making one for a while because the modem is just so big.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I haven't seen the modem in it.
Well, the modem is probably in that thing that you slap on the Moto Z.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
So that's how big it is.
Well, that's roughly. Really not that big, though.
But it takes up so much of the phone, you'd have to make the phone so much bigger to fit it in.
Hey.
It's going to be a while.
That's what people love, big phones.
Screen, not thickness.
True.
They're like slim, and Apple's known for slimness, so they're not making a phone until 2020. Samsung is only doing one because they got money to make one.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Got to make one. I mean, let's be honest. How many people have Motorola phones anymore? Like none.
Didn't they, what was that one? The Razr.
Yeah.
That was like their most famous
The last
one.
Time you had a cool Motorola phone was the Razr, and it was a flip phone, and it didn't have internet. So that tells you where we're at right now with how Motorola is doing, making a 5G phone.
Yeah.
But I know Verizon's launching in, I think it's 4 cities, with Indy, Houston, and I don't remember the other two. I should have because I did a training on it, but you see how well I pay attention to that. Basically, all I knew is it wasn't here, so oh well.
Yeah, Bluffton isn't going to see it for a while.
We're going to be several years behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one other thing here in here is like hardware stores and tobacco, railroads, concentration is on the rise. And in technology-related fields, smartphones, social media, and cell phones, it's even higher. So, guys, we're getting less and less options. And companies are making us think we have options, but we really don't. We have fewer options. So, something to keep your eye on.
Oh yeah,
well, be aware of
even like in for your home internet. How many choices do you have for your home internet?
Well, that depends on location.
Hey,
most of them have a monopoly on it, and you only have one option.
Yeah, I mean,
because of where you live.
Here in Bluffton, there's two, and one's garbage. So basically, you have one option. So and to where it's, I mean, you see it all the time. Big companies are just buying others. To where it's to the point where everybody's got cash. What do you spend it on? Well, let's buy my competition and make my life easier. So,
pretty much. So we'll see. Keep your eye out on that. See what happens. All right. Let's see if we have any questions. I'm afraid we don't have any because I just checked and I didn't see any. So,
not even on your Instagram?
I got nothing on.
You probably got all kinds of followers.
On four? Meh. I'm not a so. I don't have a good. I'm not on social media much. I'm not tweeting. I don't know why I have it. But if anyone's listening, we could really use a question. Anything. So. Tweet us. Check out my Facebook, Joshua Ehlers. If you don't know how to spell my last name, it's Ehlers, not Ahlers. So Ehlers. Instagram, at Joshua_Ehlers5. And Snapchat, if you have me. Snap me if you're listening. But I don't think we have anyone. So what do you say we just do a little bit review of baby steps?
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey's baby steps, since we've talked about them. For our, you know, so far this semester, let's just do a recap. So, baby step number one, $1,000 emergency fund. Keep it liquid. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And basically, get it as fast as you possibly can. Baby step number two, do you have anything to add for step one before we move on to step two?
Not really. I mean, unless you want to go over, I mean, liquid again basically just means being able to be turned into cash fast. So basically just leave it as cash. Yeah. Put a savings account, money market account at probably the most complicated you want to go there.
Yeah, I don't even say money account, just savings account.
Stick in your savings account, get 0.01% interest at your bank. And
just simple, 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 simple. So yeah, that is that one. Baby step number two, use the debt snowball to pay off all your debt. List them smallest to largest and get gazelle intense. Act like you're being chased by a cheetah and you're a gazelle and you're running and it's basically life or death. That's how much intense you need to have to pay off your debt. You just got to attack them one at a time and throw all the money that you can out of a budget. I guess I kind of missed the non-step, the budget. So before you even start any of these steps, so I'll take a little time out here. You have to create a budget, starting with giving. Well, do your income, and then start with giving, and then do all of your expenses. Giving's important because it just it puts a new mindset around money. You know, if you go to church every Sunday, that giving can be your tithe. Or if you don't, find other areas, other ways to give. Get some money, food pantries. I don't know, anything basically. But start with giving because it just kind of creates a new mindset around money. It's because you're a manager of God's money. So, but create a budget and find areas to cut out when you're starting your debt snowball. And then throw all that spare cash at the first debt. Get it paid off as fast as you can and move on. Get to the second one and just keep going. And just get a nice big snowball for that last one and just attack it, get it out, and get it done. If you want to attack your home at the end, that's fine. Some do, some don't. It's kind of what you want to do. If you do, hey, all the power to you.
Yeah, but not usually recommended, though. You get burnt out if you do that to where it's you're living so intense for so long trying to pay off a house and everything. I mean, you can have a little fun in life.
Depending on how much you have left on the house, move it to six, baby step six. If you don't have much left and you want to, if you know if that you can hold the intensity for this long, hey, like I said, all the power to you. But well, you have anything else to add, Jason?
No. I mean, the only other thing is a lot of people get kind of emotional, I guess, about the interest rates to where, I mean, that's regardless of interest rate, you got to put them smallest to largest and work through them in that order. And that's mainly just to give you traction to where once you start paying off the smaller ones, you actually feel like you've accomplished something. And that mentally really will help you keep you in the game to where you won't just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, I've been doing this for 3 months and haven't really got anywhere. Whereas if you pay off something small right away in the first month, and then within the next couple of months, you pay something else off, and then you pay something else off, it's literally why it's called a snowball, is you get kind of a snowball effect and you really get some good traction and get moving and keeps you going.
Yeah. Like, and one thing to add is financial behavior is 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. So when it comes to paying off debt, it's like you said, it's not about interest rates and trying to be fancy with the math. It's just about getting it paid off and keeping it simple. So we'll move on. Baby step three, kind of slowing down here, getting a little less intense. You're trying to save 3 to 6 months of expenses, get a fully funded emergency fund. And this is like the step I love the most because it's like your own insurance.
Yeah, kind of like your victory lap too almost.
Yeah.
To where it's like you really start living like it's the first couple months where you're like, I don't have any payments.
Yeah.
And like you have this realization where you're like, I have all this money coming in, but I don't have to give it to anyone.
Exactly.
So it really kind of is like the victory step.
It really is.
I mean, you haven't finished yet, but I mean, it's kind of like that. Like
you get to exhale
mm-hmm.
and then you just get to, you're like, whoa, this is weird. You know, it takes a little bit to adjust and you just get to attack, get a fully funded emergency fund, get some insurance. And at this point, once you finish this step, you can really start changing the way things are. Like, get a fully funded emergency fund. Heck, you can save money on the insurance that you do have. Because at this point, you could potentially pay a higher, you know, deductible if something does happen because you can knock out the little stuff. I think once you get to this step and you get it completed, it really changes like your entire outlook on money.
Oh yeah, and a lot of it is changes like you like mentally as well, to where you're like, I mean, if I want to say you want to start a business or you want to do a different job, to where you don't have to worry about like if I'm out of work, what am I going to do next month? Yeah. To where it's like I could quit my job right now, and I know I have my 3 to 6 months of expenses sitting right there in an account. To where it's like if worse comes to worse, if you tried a business and didn't make a dime for 3 months, well, at the end of 3 months, you might be getting a little worried, but it's like those 3 months, you basically had no stress on you from expenses. So,
and the lowest that emergency fund should be is $5,000. I think upwards of $25,000.
Well, and a lot of people think it's a lot higher than what you need to, but I mean, when you think about it, the only expenses you should really have are just your basic, I mean, food, water, that kind of stuff. And the only other debt you should have at this point would be your house if it was in step six.
Yes.
So the only real payment you have, I mean, other than your lights, water, like I said earlier, is really your house payment.
Yeah.
So, and that should only be like, I mean, we're talking 25% of your income roughly. So you have 75% of your income to do whatever with Mm-hmm. So you only really have to cover that, basically your house payment and your utilities and food. It shouldn't add up to that much each month to where, I mean, your expenses at this point should be relatively low.
Yeah.
So,
baby step four, 15% of the household income into retirement, not counting matches from employers. So go and use your employer's 401k contributions. Jason and I differ on this a little bit. I would say use your employer up to a match. Take the rest. Do an IRA, your own IRA from an advisor. I'm kind of the person, I'd like to know where my money's going kind of thing. I want more control. If your employer gives you options, take it, you know, kind of thing. Like, go if you feel comfortable with the company that they've chosen, go ahead and invest over the match. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'd rather go to someone that I kind of pick out and put the money with them, and I know what it's in, and I get to dictate what it's in. So I know you said when we were doing the lesson that if it's, you know,
I mean, if they offer a Roth, I got no problem with you just sticking there and putting it all in one place. As long as your options, the mutual funds that it offers, aren't trash. I mean, if you have good options in there for different types of mutual funds to where they are competitive with what market returns are for their categories, 100% fine with it. Yeah. Now, if you have a aggressive growth mutual fund that averages negative 10% each year and the industry average is positive, is you're gaining 12-15% a year, obviously you don't want to use that option.
Yeah.
So you kind of, I mean, you just need to look at them, look at the track records of them. Are they good investments? And then decide from there. If you have a bunch of trash investments, yeah, go get an IRA, but get that match though.
Definitely. Always get the match.
And then go look outside from there. Like, I know the options that I was in, it was really good options, really competitive. Some of them were even better to where it was some of the industry leading ones. So if you have good options, ride it out.
And don't invest in anything that you don't understand.
Very important, yeah.
I would say that's the biggest thing right now with retirement. If you're sitting down with that person that your company brought in, and he's just straight salesperson, he is not teaching you anything, he's kind of beating around the bush with your questions, and you don't feel comfortable and you don't really know what you're looking at, don't do it. Just do the match and, you know, diversify what you're putting in. If you're younger, do a little more aggressive, but always keep going back if let's say you're in this job for a while, always go back and adjust that. Don't leave it, because when you're young, you want aggressive. You want that to build. You don't want to put it all in aggressive by no means, but you want a little aggressive so you can get a little growth. But as you get older and you're longer in that job, change that up a little bit. Don't keep it all aggressive. I think that's the biggest thing on a employer 401k. But with your, you know, if you move money to an advisor, you're going to meet with them at least once a year, and then you can keep up with that, and you have another set of eyes that you trust on that money. So I think that's what I would say about 401ks.
Yeah, when you can have your advisors, they should be able to help you with your work plan as well. I know there's a lot of people, get someone in the area too, because chances are there are other clients are probably working at the same place as you, so they're familiar with it too.
Yeah.
So
I didn't mention that, but that's a good point to make.
To where I think some people just assume, like, it's through my employer, I can't have an outside person help me with it. But if just because of your 401ks, I mean, you're using a 401k instead of an IRA, by no means you can't have an advisor help you with it. But yeah, you should check whether you're checking an IRA or your 401k through your employer. I mean, you should routinely check it. I mean, every year, check your investments and stuff. Just make sure they're decent. So
yeah, definitely. Anyways, I think that's four for you. So baby step five is funding children's college savings plans. So, you know, this I would say definitely go to an advisor.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot around college savings plans. I know the famous one is the 529, which offers, I want to say, tax-free on college or on school expenses.
Yeah, if you use it for school expenses, you get a penalty if not. But
so, you know, there's that one. There's other ones out there. I think there's a CISA. Does that sound about right?
I've never heard that one.
Maybe I'm just making things something up, but I thought maybe when I was at the bank, we think I went over one, something like that. But
I mean, there's a lot.
There are a lot of options for saving for college. So definitely go to get an advisor and sit down with them and get something set in stone for a college savings plan. And when it comes to college savings plans, basically it's mostly an aggressive funds, because that fund's going to be there for about 18 years. Mm-hmm. If it's all in moderate and long term, you're not going to see any growth on that money. So most of that money is in aggressive stuff. So you definitely want to go see an advisor for when it comes to college savings plans.
Yeah, and college inflation runs higher than normal inflation as well. So you have to get even more of a return to combat that.
Which just means you're putting all that money in aggressive funds. And when I think of an aggressive fund, that basically you just bought Tesla stock.
Yeah.
And that's kind of funny, but Tesla, that stock's been all over. And that's basically what a college savings plan is. And some of it is in moderate to kind of hold your investment, because you don't want to see all your money, you know, all that return get just disappear. So some of it's in moderate to keep the investment stable. But man, you are first, while you know, when your child's young, all that money's in aggressive. So, but yeah, go see an advisor about college savings plans. So, well, let's see. Baby step number 6, paying off the home. So you've moved it from 2 to 6. 6 is usually where it's at. So if you didn't do it in 2, now we're going to attack the home, which Dave always says, normal is broke. And he says, we are weird people. After you finish step 6, you are a weird person. You just became weird people. And you got to embrace this new look. You're weird people. And that
it's
is
a compliment.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It is the biggest compliment you can get. Everyone holds onto their house payment like it's a, I don't even know why. Like, they hold it on for a tax break, but the tax break is just bad math by advisors. Doesn't make any sense. Get the thing paid off. You have no more payments in your life. Just, I'm going to pause for a second. No more payments. Ever. Just no payments. When you get your check every week or monthly, there's no payments coming out of it.
It's your check.
It is. All of that money is your check. Now, of course, you have utilities to pay for, but none of it's an automatic payment to anything. So, yeah, that step is the best. And we're running short on time, so I'm going to move on to 7 here. Mm-hmm. And that is build wealth and give. So max out retirement. If you're still saving for kids' college, max out that too. And most importantly, pass it forward, give it forward, give a lot. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be money at all. Time is a big gift too. So it doesn't always have to be money, but, change the world a little bit with the money that you have built. So, all right. What do you say we move on to our verse and quote of the day for our last episode here
Perfect.
Of the semester? So verse of the day comes from John 1, verse 14. And the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I thought that was appropriate. It's a little Christmas verse for you, since we're approaching Christmas fast. So I thought it would be appropriate to give a little Christmas verse there for you. So, Jason, you got our quote of the day.
Well, so yours is around Christmas coming up. Mine is one we mentioned earlier with the passing of George H.W. Bush. I got a quote from him here. One I liked was, he said, "The American dream means giving it your all, trying your hardest, accomplishing something." And then I'd add to that, giving something back. No definition of a successful life can do anything but include serving others. And again, that was George H.W. Bush there. So.
And that ties perfectly with what I was just saying. Mm-hmm. Give, 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 you know, improve other lives by, you know, taking a little bit of your time and giving it to them. So, well, everyone, I think that's going to wrap up our last episode here of the semester. Jason, thank you for joining me for these episodes.
It's a pleasure being here. I appreciate the chance.
And whenever you get a chance, come back. You can be a guest on the show. If anyone out there is listening, I am in need of a new co-host. If you love financial literacy, and a little bit of Dave Ramsey, contact me. Catch me on campus. Let me know. We'll bring you on, and you can be my new co-host. So if you're interested, let me know. I'd love to have you on. We can talk about money and everything good, everything in the business world. So, all right, everyone. Have a safe and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone. And we will see you, I will see you next year, 2019, in January, for the next episode of Smart Money. And as always, remember to live smart.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Kid on the block, hold on your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own. About time I elevated to claim my own throne. Success in my blood, call it homegrown. Puerto Rican testosterone. Power and money got me crazy cocky. No longer need you, poppy. I know you're mad because you can't stop me. And if you wonder how this play.
In the tradition of student-driven media at Bluffton University, on your PC, your radio, and your mobile device, this is WBWHLP Bluffton. 96.1 The